Nicole. For those of you who don't know or don't remember, I'm the pastor here at Refuge, and happy Pride. Did you guys enjoy screaming that? I know Mona did. Look, Mona, I know we haven't known each other long, but I heard you say more words today than I've heard you say since I met you, and I loved every minute of it. Thank you so much. Thank you to everyone in the room who contributed in one way, shape, or form to us being at Pride, either financially, showing up, whatever you did to make today happen. I am just completely grateful. It was an amazing day. I was able to connect with so many people. Femi was running around with little suggestion cards, getting people to, I don't even remember what the questions were, but it was like, what can the church do better for the LGBTQ community? And she was running around, got a bunch of those filled out, and it was amazing. And if you weren't there, if you didn't go, for whatever reason, there's no shame or judgment. You are part of this church, so you, in part, loved people. Being a part here, showing up tonight, is being part of Refuge and being a safe place. You helped create that safe place for all people. So thank you for choosing Refuge tonight, whether it's your home or you're visiting. Thank you for choosing me as your pastor. It's very humbling and mind-boggling that you trust me enough to speak into your life, because I'm not all that special. I said to Annika this week, I was like, it's really weird that people introduce me as their pastor, and it's like, I'm like 17. Like, I am not old enough to be your pastor. I am not. Like, when Carly teaches, I'm just blown away by how smart she is, and she chooses to call me her pastor and listen to what I have to say. So thank you all for everything. And tonight we are wrapping up what I'm calling part one of our Holy Habits series. And I'm calling it part one because the way that I laid it out, extremely unintentionally, but the way that I laid it out, I didn't realize that tonight will be the last night that we talk about a holy habit or a practice that is inward. It's about our self-care. It's about how we take care of ourselves. So we've done prayer, meditation, silence, and solitude. And all of these holy habits are about loving ourselves, because the whole foundation of this series is loving ourselves so that we can love others well. And we are getting this from Mark 12. And it's so funny that I usually use the Message translation for a lot of my scriptures, and I don't know how I haven't used the Message for Mark 12. I do not have slides tonight. I apologize. So you're just gonna. Annika said that the last time I didn't have slides, she's like, it was nice. I just got to look at you the whole time, and I don't know if that's just unique to her. It might. But the Message version of Mark 12, 29 through 31, it says, Jesus said, the first in importance is this. Listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is the second. Love others as well as you love yourself. I don't know how it's taken me this long to read the Message translation of this, but look, Jesus said it. Love others as well as you love yourself. You have to love yourself well, care for yourself in order that you might love other people. Because the glue holding this whole series together, all of our holy habits, is that we cannot give from an empty well. We cannot care for others. We cannot love people we do not love and take care of ourselves. We love the Lord. We love ourselves so that we can love others in a genuine, loving, honoring way. And so the holy habit tonight that we're talking about is, in my opinion, like the final boss of all the other holy habits that we've talked about. And tonight we're talking about Sabbath. And this is actually where I started few weeks ago when I decided to go all in on a series is because I was trying to write a sermon about Sabbath and resting and stopping, and it was turning into like a 3-hour long thing, and so I was like, we'll just do a new series. And then even as I'm writing this one, I was like, Sabbath just needs to be a series of its own, and it will be eventually, because what I want us to do is to take these habits that we've talked about and practice them and begin to incorporate them, because even though I'm preaching them, I'm struggling to practice them every day, every week. My family is moving. My mom is moving. It's just, I have all the excuses in the book that I haven't done it, but I want us to keep working this muscle out, get better at meditation, get better at prayer, silence and solitude. And so then when we hit Sabbath, we're ready to go and we can knock it all out and learn how to do it and do it well. But all the things that we've discussed leading up to tonight are things that we incorporate into our Sabbath so that we can Sabbath well. And there's no way that we can Sabbath and rest and stop properly if we don't practice meditation, if we don't practice prayer. We can't spend a whole day of resting and doing nothing if we haven't been exercising that muscle and learning how to be silent and be alone and be in the presence of God. We've been walking with Jesus and working with Jesus, learning how he practiced self-care. Because if you look at the life of Jesus, my man practiced self-care. He took care of himself so that he could love other people. 2 weeks ago, because I didn't preach last week, which thank you for all of your patience and kindness and being chill with that. If you didn't, if you kept all your mean thoughts to yourself, thank you, because it was a surprise when I said I wasn't preaching. But thank you for that week off. But we looked at Elijah 2 weeks ago and his silent moment on a mountain with God. And we saw that this idea of self-care, of silence, solitude, prayer, meditation is not some new 21st century thing. It's been happening since the Old Testament. And the truth is, it goes back even further than Elijah in 2 Kings. It goes all the way back to day one. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning and looking at the scriptures that I believe Jesus learned from when he was learning how to love himself. So what is Sabbath? I'm glad you asked. Before we go any further, I'll answer that question for you. But before that, I want to know from you, when I say the word Sabbath, what are some things that come to your mind? What are some things that either that you or that you used to think, or just when I say Sabbath, you think of? Do nothing. Rest. First rowers really are on top. So, Friday night and Saturday. So, you guys are much more progressive and learning more things than I am. But for me, when I was growing up, I grew up very religious, Church of God. So, Sabbath for me, what I understood it to be was just a fancy Bible word for Sunday. That's the Lord's day. So you go to church on the Sabbath. So I thought like Sabbath was like Hebrew for Sunday. That's what I thought. I was a dumb kid, so you don't put much into that. And that's the day we go to church. And it's not completely wrong, but it's also not completely right. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. And that word Shabbat means to cease, to stop, to rest. And it's not like stopping like you Shabbat at a red light or you, I hope not. I hope no one's like at a red. I almost did today. I was so tired driving down the road and I was hoping Elijah was going to nap. But every time like I saw it hitting him, he would just sit up and ask me another stupid question. And I was like, just go to sleep, man. I need some quiet. He said, can we listen to that ring, ning, ning, and ning song? I was like, nope, sure can't. But it's not like we just stop and we wait with anticipation and anxiety to just start again. It's not the holy habit of killing time and just taking a day off. Sabbath is intentional. It's intentionally stepping out of the rhythm of our work, the rhythm of our life, and slowing down, putting all of our production on hold, all of our hustle on hold, and stepping into peace. Sabbath and rest is not the absence of work, but removing striving and pressure and stress so that you can have peace, so that there can be delight and joy in your rest. Like I said, we're going to do a Sabbath series because there's just so much to cover in one night and one sermon that I'm just going to scratch the surface tonight. And we'll dive deep into this soon, but there's so much more to this idea of ceasing work. Because we see this rhythm of work and rest, we see it, like I said, from the very beginning. We're going to go to Genesis 1:1, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day." So two things that I want to point out in Genesis 1:1 is that God delighted in their work. We see the rhythm of Sabbath right from the get-go. All God did was say, "Let there be light." And then stood back and was like, "I am the bomb. That's good stuff." And it doesn't matter how simple the task is. What God is showing us here is to step back and be proud of what we're doing. To take delight in the things and the work that we're doing for God or for our family or for our church or for ourselves. That's what God did. He spoke light into existence and said, "I am the best, and that's enough for today." And this is part of self-care, stopping and pausing and slowing down to say, "This is good. What I have done is good. What I'm doing is good." No matter how simple the task may be. God basically flipped a light switch and patted himself on the back. And I'm not trying to trivialize creation. I'm sorry if that's what I'm doing for you. But it's what God is teaching us here that is so beautiful, is that if we do things that are as simple as getting out of bed, getting dressed, taking a shower, driving to work, driving to church, making ourselves breakfast, putting on something other than our PJs, folding laundry, doing laundry, or simply just breathing in and out. Because some days that's harder than anything else that we do. God is telling us that no matter how simple the task is, whatever we have done, to step back, stop, pause, and delight in what we're doing. Saying, "That is good. I got out of bed today, and that is good. I went out in public today, and that is good. I have no more sweat left in my body. And because you're far enough away from me, it's good." But it's about delighting in the work that we do. And the other thing that I want to look at here in Genesis 1:1 is that there is a pause, a rest, a Sabbath in the very first thing that God created. God separated the light and dark, creating day and night, and in that creating a time of rest. When it's dark and the sun is gone, we stop working and we rest, go to sleep. Then the sun comes up, the light comes back, and we work again. And this is the rhythm of life that God intended for us to live in since day one. God worked in creation. He delighted. This is very good. And then he says, "I've done my best today. I will rest and do my best tomorrow." And for the next 5 days, God flows in this rhythm, creating, delighting, and resting. And then we get to Genesis 2. And Genesis 2, 1 through 3 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation." God rested from the work. He pauses, stops for a full day, and rests. And on the seventh day, creates Sabbath. And it's not just good, it's holy. It's sacred. And this is the first time in scripture that something gets called holy. It's not a temple. It's not a synagogue. It's not a mountain. It's not a person. It's not even God that is the first thing that is called holy in scripture. It is a day, time, the Sabbath. It is the practice in this way of life to stop and care for ourselves, making self-care truly holy. And in all of God's creating, he creates this day and time for his people to stop working and rest. And putting the idea of this work-rest balance, this work-rest rhythm that humanity and people should follow forever. God's work is good, and we should delight in doing God's work, but so is rest. Rest is so, so good. So good. I cannot wait to go home, take off my pants, and just go to sleep, because rest is so good. I will shower first, and then... And the thing that Genesis 2 is telling us is that creation was not complete without the rest. The culmination of all creation was not human beings. It wasn't Adam and Eve and people. It was rest. That was when creation was done, is when God stepped back and said, this is good, and now I'm going to take a nap. And he creates everything, even this rhythm of rest, copying the rhythm that he has put into nature, day, night, summer, winter, even our heart. Our heart doesn't work without a rest. It beats and it rests. And when it rests, that's when blood and the life-giving thing that keeps us alive runs through our body. Because literally everything in creation lives in this work-rest rhythm. And it's a rhythm that we should be living in. Shabbat Shalom. Beth knows what that means. I'm sure you guys now know what it means. It means rest and peace. It actually means may your rest be full of peace. It's more than a day off. It's about living in peace and wholeness. Connected to community, connected to creation, connected to God. Living in shalom. It's about pulling all of our holy habits together and saying, my mind is still through our meditation. My heart has spoken through prayer. My space is sacred in the moments of silence and solitude. And now I get to step back, take a day, and let it be enough. Let it be good. And like I said, there's so much beauty in Sabbath, but if you hear nothing else tonight, if you take nothing else away from what I say tonight, let it be that you have done enough. And what you have done is good. And God delights in the work that you have done, so you deserve to delight in it as well. Like today, despite all the good that we did, I still don't feel like I did enough. I don't ever feel like I do enough for the LGBTQ plus community. I don't feel like I do enough for people of color, but I do God's work and I did God's work today. And I have permission to step back and say it was good. It was enough because I was enough. Refuge was enough for at least one person today. I know that it's more than that, but at least one person, we were enough. And we've talked about creation, we've talked about this, and I have to be honest with you tonight as your pastor, and I know some of you are going to storm out when I say this, but I believe in evolution. I know. I do not believe in a literal seven-day creation, as I'm teaching from the seven-day creation story. I don't know that I believe in some big cosmic explosion and we somehow have evolved from a tadpole to where we are. I believe that we're somewhere in the middle between this big bang and God creating things. I don't know how it happens, but I feel like there's a good mix of both. But also the deconstruction part of myself says it doesn't matter how we got here. It just matters that we're here. So be a good person. But I believe in evolution, in a sense, in a way that I believe that God never stops creating. God is always working and shifting to make things better. That's what evolution is you evolve to do things that you couldn't do, to know things you didn't know, to be better. And I read Genesis 2 from the NRSV tonight, even though it sounded redundant, and you might have thought that I was repeating myself without it being on the screen, but this is what it says one more time. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he had rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done. That's what it says. Go look it up. Genesis 2, 1 through 3 in the NRSV, it says God had rested from the work that he had done three times in a row. And this week I sat and I looked at this passage and I meditated on it. And I pulled out some of my Bible reading tools from college, and I thought back to repetition. When somebody, an author, repeats something in the Bible, it's important. They didn't have unlimited paper or ink or resources, so when they took time to write something three times in a row, like God had rested from all the work that he had done, it's important. It signals to the reader that you need to pay attention. God resting from the work that he has done is important. And part of it is, as I reread this, I saw a different importance, is that God rested from all the work that he had done. And I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe what I took from this is that God rested from all the work that he had done, and then he continues to create. And then he continues to rest from the work that he has done. I believe that God continues to create, God continues to work, and I believe God continues to rest and delight in what he's doing and delight in what we're doing. And I believe that there's this repetition to show us this rhythm of working and resting and doing and being and honoring God. Sabbath is not an escape or a last-ditch effort to recover your lives. It can be. But it has been intended from the very beginning to be a holy habit that we implement in our lives regularly. Why? Why do we do any of it? The meditation, the prayer, silence, solitude, Sabbath. Why do we do any of it? So we can love ourselves. I feel like I have to repeat that. It's so that we can love ourselves, so that we can love others. We rest well so we can work well. Because Refuge is all about being people to people who need people. Look, repetition, it's important. So with all that said, we now get to the Ten Commandments. Oh, you guys were not as excited as I thought you were going to be about the Ten Commandments. I thought since they're going up in schools, we were all going to have like a really fun time about this. But the Ten Commandments, despite what America thinks, they are not about control, legalism. It's not a to-do list of rights and wrongs. The Ten Commandments, at the heart of what the Ten Commandments are, is about relationships. Loving God, loving ourselves, and loving other people. I've talked about this briefly before, but if we look at Commandments 1 through 3, no gods before me, no idols, don't take the Lord's name in vain. These are all reminders of us to love God, to stay rooted in our source of life, to stay connected to him and close to him through prayer, meditation, through silence and solitude, to be connected to God. It's not about not saying, oh my God, or worshiping anything else. It's about being connected to God so that we honor God, honoring the divine relationship that gives us meaning and purpose and value. And then Commandment 4 is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This is a command to us, a command to remember to stop. Remember to take care of yourself. Remember to love yourself and take a whole day where all you do is rest and worship and honor God and honor yourself. God creating the rhythm of rest and resistance against burnout and hustle and self-neglect. God is saying, do not forget yourself because you matter too. God is telling us to take care of our mind, body, and soul. and to keep the day holy because we are holy. And then the last five commandments, honor your father and mother, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, and don't covet. These have nothing to do with God, and they have nothing to do with ourselves, but how we love other people, our family, our neighbors, and even our enemies. These commandments are a guide on how to build a just and compassionate world. And in the top 10, the 10 commandments, the bridge from loving God in an honoring way where we worship him, he is our source of life, to loving others is the Sabbath. Loving ourselves. We love God, are centered in God. We delight in God and in the work that we're doing, and we realign with our purpose, our meaning, our value, so that we can love others well. Because it all comes back to people and how we love them. My PR lady, Nancy, got winked to come interview me, and she, the lady asked me, she's like, so what makes you different from, because you're a Christian, you're a church, what makes you different from the church out there? And it's too much of a question to answer in the time that I had. But what I told her is that we don't judge backgrounds. We don't care what people believe in because it's not about their beliefs. It's about them as a person. We care about the person. We love the person. And that's all that we're doing, is creating a safe place for anybody to be loved, to be valued, to be seen. So it's not about whether you believe in the same God that I'm preaching about. It's not about whether you pray to the same God I'm preaching about. That's what Jesus' life was about, was seeing people, giving them value, giving them purpose. So that's what I told her. I was like, we're just loving people. So tonight I want us all to remember Jesus' words from Matthew 11, the verse that is the foundation of this whole series. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you, so keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. You are not a machine. You are also not the sum of what you produce. Sabbath is a protest to the culture that says more work, more production, more striving, more hustle, because Sabbath is a protest and a declaration that we are worth more than what we do and what we produce. Our mental and emotional health are more valuable than our output. The healing and recovery and our peace is more than just praying through it. Jesus tells us that if we come to him, he will show us how to take a real rest. And this rest allows us to breathe, recover, and love ourselves. As with all the other holy self-care habits, Sabbath is hard. I repeated this week in and week out is that self-care is hard because it's intentional. And Sabbath is hard because we are programmed to never stop. Because we're programmed to never stop, Sabbath takes work and preparation, because there's no work on Sabbath. No laundry, no dishes, no sweeping, no mopping, no cooking, no schoolwork, no work, no housework, no work. What a dream, right? We're all like, I'm a Sabbath tonight. But it's hard, because I think about myself is that I cannot walk past a sink with dirty dishes in it. It's hard for me to do. And so I trick myself with this lie, is that but I'll be able to relax once the dishes are clean. But anybody with ADHD or ADD knows that, okay, I got water on the floor, so I have to mop it up. I go to mop it up and I realize I have to sweep first. So then I sweep and then I realize under my stove is filthy. So I move my stove out and I sweep up all under there and move all under there and I put it back. And then I realize that my fridge probably looks the same kind of mess. So I pull the fridge out. And then finally by the end of the day, I'm like, okay, now I can rest because everything's clean. But even that stuff needs to be put away on the Sabbath. Which is what I just gotta walk past the dirty dishes. Just got to walk past the unfolded laundry. Because it'll get done eventually. Not today, Satan. Is it realistic to say that we'll be able to stop right now and for the next 24 hours do nothing? No. I mean, maybe some of us. But we have to start slow. I can't get into all the spiritual aspects around Sabbath because it's so amazing and so beautiful, but this is your Sabbath starter kit tonight, okay? Start small. Set aside 1 to 4 hours, 30 minutes to 2 hours, whatever it is for you where you're intentionally not working. You're not running errands, you're not cleaning, you're not checking emails. Even put your phone on do not disturb or turn it off. Don't respond to texts. A full hour without any kind of interruption. 1 to 4 hours, whatever it takes, keeping in mind that the goal is a full 24 hours. Make a stop list. Write down 3 to 4 things that you're not going to do within that 4-hour window. Laundry, social media, organizing the calendar for next week, texting, emails, packing. Make a list of things that you're not going to do that you know could rob you of joy and peace, and don't do those things. And then do one thing that you can delight in, or more than one, whatever you can fit in that 1 to 4 hours, but do something that brings you joy. Read a book, crochet, play a game with your family, take a walk, ride your bike, go fishing, go to the beach, go running, Mike, go run, mow the grass. If that brings you joy, I'll give you my address, but do one thing that makes you joyful, that brings you peace. And then 4, just be. You don't know what to do, incorporate the other holy habits we've talked about. Meditate, pray, sit in silence. Enjoy the beauty around you. Be present in the moment with your spouse or your kids or whatever. Be present. Be still. Rest, recover. And then the last one is end whatever amount of time you've chosen with gratitude. Before you restart your life, before you go to chores, or if you get to a point you're doing a full 24 hours, end that day with a prayer of thanks. Naming at least 3 things that you're thankful for. So we're going to close out here. So I'm going to invite you to do something weird and just close your eyes. And we're going to meditate on this final prayer before we worship. Because as your pastor, as your friend, as someone who loves and cares about you, your mental health is important to me. I don't want you serving in this church from an empty well. I want you taking care of you, taking care of your family, keeping your heart and your mind focused on things that bring you joy. And one of my favorite passages of scripture is in Philippians 4, when Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything, telling God what you need and thanking him for all that he has done. And you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand, and his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And one final thing, my friends, fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And putting into practice all that you've learned from me, everything that you heard from me, and what you saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you. I'm going to invite the band as I pray. Father, we are here thankful. Thankful for what you did today at Pride, the lives we were able to touch, the people we were able to encounter, and the love of Jesus, we were able to be to people who needed Jesus. God, would you help us, give us strength as we practice our holy habits, as we learn to love ourselves, as we learn to take care of our hearts and our minds, and we fix our thoughts on what is true and right and pure and lovely. God, would you bring healing to those who need healing, hope to those who need hope. I pray that refuge becomes a place where people are safe enough to recover their lives, where they're safe enough to finally rest from their striving and their working and the pain and the burdens they carry. Lord, would you move in our hearts tonight? We love you so much, and we are so thankful that you love us. We worship you tonight. Would you? We'll be right back.